welcome back, everybody, to today's Brexit podcast. I'm your host, Tim Hemming, and today's episode promises to be historic in its brevity, if nothing else. In Tuesday's episode, we tried to unravel what PM in waiting Jeremy Corbyn really thinks of Brexit, underline how the Labour Party's position is somewhat nuanced and conflicted. Big thank you to Paul Goldsmith for joining us for that episode. Today, we have no such worries. No longer do you have to stay awake until 3 a.m. for his latest rumblings through Twitter. No, it is time to make the Brexit podcast great again by finding out what the one and only Donald Trump thinks of Britain. For that, we have turned to the transcript of a recent Wall Street Journal interview, so we have the Don's words verbatim, and they really are quite a thing. So without further ado, let's kick this off. I am flying solo with Jen Hahn in Berlin, so I'm going to play the part of both Donald Trump and the Wall Street Journal journalist who's interviewing. Donald, you tweeted this morning about trade talks with Britain. Yep. Can you tell us more about what's going on? Nope, but I can say that we're going to be very involved with the UK. I mean, you don't hear the word Britain anymore. It's very interesting. It's like, nope. Is Scotland going to go for the vote, by the way? You don't see it. It would be terrible. They just went through hell. So, if anyone's already lost, for clarity, Trump has instantly jumped to the subject of Scottish independence without actually being asked. They just went through hell. One little thing. What would they do with the British Open if they ever got out? They'd no longer have the British Open. So, interjection again. Trump's now switched subjects to golf. So he owns 17 courses, including Turnberry and Ayrshire, which was voted the number one golf course in the world by Golf Monthly fairly recently. Let's get back to Trump. Scotland, keep it in Scotland. By the way, are you a member there? No, I've played there. I thought the course showed well. So, again, sorry for the interruption. Trump is now talking about Royal Birkdale, which was the host of the 2017 Open. That's in Southport. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous course. Did you see Jordan Spieth? Amazing. I saw his first four holes and I said, man, that's the end of that because, you know, yes. So for a guy to go, you know, to me, that's almost worse than like a triple bogey because... For a guy to go through these horrible holes, hit a bad drive like I've never seen. I mean, he was 150 yards right. I don't know what that... Come on, you and I have hit worse drives. So the interviewer is now engaging Donald in some golf banter. No, I know. But for a tour pro, it was very unusual. But for a guy to then go birdie, eagle, birdie, birdie, that's a special...
He could be the youngest guy to do the career major.
He's in with Tiger and Jack. He's essentially even, you know, with a number of terms and a number of majors.
So again, to try and clarify, I think Donald Trump, still on the subject of golf, is saying that Jordan Spieth, as a young golfer, is his progress is on a par with both Tiger Woods and Jack Nicklaus, who are the two most bemedaled golfers in the game. Anyway, are you looking forward to doing a trade deal with the UK?
Yeah, I have a great relationship.
It would be after Brexit, right? They have a time frame.
Yeah.
The one thing is there's a ticking clock with Brexit.
We have a very good relationship. I have a very good relationship with the Prime Minister, and we are absolutely looking to do a major trade deal.
Would the idea be that that trade deal will kick in pretty much as soon as Brexit happens?
As soon as it's appropriate to have it kick in? Absolutely. And it'll be a big trade deal. Much, much more business than we do right now. Many, many times.
Can you highlight specifics?
There'll be certain pieces. It's not... There'll be certain pieces. I mean, one of the things that... I have a very good relationship with the EU people and all, but they are very, very protectionist. You know, our farmers and others can't even deal with... You know... You can't sell in. It's very unfair. And that's what I've been talking about for a long time.
It's so stacked against the United States. Now the EU was conceived to the point that they wanted to do something to compete with the United States. Well, you know, you could say that's a friendly act or an unfriendly act, but it's very protectionist. Among the most, we have farm products that you just can't get into the EU, and we don't do that to them.
So apologies if anyone's not following this. I'm not entirely sure that I am either. So you'd include an agricultural deal with the UK?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, I did. I did a thing that nobody even wrote about, although you did. But when I was with President Xi...
So he's talking now about the Chinese president.
Who I was in a very good relationship with. I said, do me a favour. Would you allow cattle, please, to come in? I was last night in West Virginia, and I had farmers coming to me and hugging me and kissing me because of the cattle stuff. They actually weren't from West Virginia. They were from other places. But, you know, it was the Boy Scouts. So they came from all over the country.
Could you do a services deal with the UK? Could that include services?
Yeah, it would include everything.
Including financial services?
Oh, no. It would be very all in with...
That's a big deal. Because we have a lot of financial companies already paring back their numbers, moving to Frankfurt, already clearing out of London some. Do you think that's a good idea right now ahead of this?
That's up to them. But we're going to have a very good relationship with the UK.
So there you have it. Straight from the president's mouth. And if that doesn't clear up all your concerns over Brexit, I really don't know what will. Brexit Podcast has been brought to you by Tim Hemming, Jennifer Hahn and Warren Pohl, with theme music from Kevin MacLeod. Tune in next week where we'll have some proper experts back on the show.